Proverbs 24, I'm interested in verse 21. My son, fear thou the Lord and the king, and meddle not with them that are given to change. For their calamity shall rise suddenly, and who knoweth the ruin of them both? Verse number 21, I talked about Aaron going from being such a monumental name of holding up the man of God when the battle was raging against the Amalekites. But then in Exodus 32, you find him being involved in molding the golden calf, being surrounded with all kinds of immorality. And if you've studied that scripture out where it said they rose up to play, that has all kinds of connotation of wickedness and immorality and lewdness. But Aaron says nothing. He changed. Aaron changed. He let the circumstance and the situation change him. And this verse come to my mind, and I've known it, I've had it highlighted in my Bible for years, especially the last part of verse 21, meddle not with them that are given to change. And we are in a day of change. And a lot of it is change I don't like. It's change that I would never approve of, but it's a change that's happening. There's changes happening in our church, our culture, our country, our churches. Things are changing every way you turn. There's change taking place. But I believe what the emphasis here of verse 21 and 22 is, don't let the changes change you. Meddle not with them that are given to change. Just because things are changing and people are changing and churches are changing and our countries are changing and culture is changing, that doesn't mean you have to change. You and I have no control much over whether what our nation does. You just know that's the truth, other than voting for some politicians that hopefully they'll do something. But far as us, ourselves, basically outside of a vote, we don't have much of a voice. And what I'm saying is I don't have a lot to do with the changes that are taking place, causing it or stopping it. But I do have say-so on whether it affects me. But anyway, it says here, meddle not with them that are given to change. And there is so many examples in the Bible of people that was given to change. And so I just want to preach on that a few minutes and just kindly scotch you up and support you to stay the course. This verse here could be used to deal with Christian loyalty. Don't change. Now, if you need to change in order to change to get right with the Word, get right with the Lord, change, those changes, yes, you need to change. You need to make those changes. But the change, I believe, in verse 21 is a negative change. It's not a good thing. Meddle not. If it was a good thing, he wouldn't say meddle not. He would say listen to them or line up with them or go with that. But he said meddle not, and we'll give you definitions for that in a minute, but meddle not with them that are given to change. And so I want to be loyal. I want to remain loyal. And let me just say this. I have sensed in the last few years a pressure to change. And I know you have. If I have, I'm sure you have. There's been a pressure to change, not preach certain things, stay away from certain things, certain subjects, topics. And I've got a lot of preacher friends that have. I've got preachers that I once let stand in this pulpit that I can't no longer let stand in this pulpit. There's preachers that I could go preach for that I really in good conscience can't go preach for them anymore because of the identity factor. I've got one that's called me numerous times and has tried everywhere in the world to get me to come and preach for him. And I'm not going to call his name because most in here would know it. And I just can't do it. He was involved in immorality, and I just can't do it. I just cannot. It's took me 37 years to build what testimony I have. I don't want to blow it through identifying myself with somebody that's got a flawed character. And I believe really, I really believe this. I believe the Lord showed me this, that individual that I'm talking about wanted me to come and preach for him so that he could do a big promotion of it that would put him and me together, put his name and my name together. I believe that was the motive. But I could be wrong on that. But either way, I can't do it. Now, that's when it gets hard, when you have to take a stand against, like in that case, a real friend. I mean, we was as close, about as close as you could get without being brothers, nearly. Served the Lord together for years, involved in different ministries together. But, when he made some of them choices to go in the wrong direction, I just can't go that way. I've never had a pressure to go that way, but, I think, man, I'm standing against my friend. I'm standing against him in the direction he's going, chance things he's done. But that's hard. It'd be easier to just go along to get along, wouldn't it? But I felt that over the years. But in this day of mega churches and all of that, just to tone it down and go a different direction. And a lot of preachers you see, and some of them I even admire, they don't stand where I stand. They don't stand in some areas. I mean, I can still be a friend to them, but whether they'll stand in this pulpit and preach or not, that's maybe a different story. But anyway, you're going to have to find out where your standards are, what you're going to stand on, what you're going to stand for, what you're going to stand against, and is it worth loyalty to? Amen. But anyway, it says, meddle not with them that are given to change. Now, here's the first thing that I want to show you, and I don't have anything big and prepared and all that. This Lord been dealing with my heart since yesterday evening. It starts out before it says, meddle not with them that are given to change. He said, my son, fear thou the Lord and the king. I believe he's dealing there with our spiritual direction of us and the Lord, and then no doubt with a national direction, Romans 13 and 1 Peter chapter 2 talks about, let me just read that verse actually, 1 Peter chapter number 2, you don't have to turn there, chapter 2 verse 17, honor all men, love the brotherhood, fear God, honor the king. Of course, in Romans 13, it talks about governmental, our relationship and responsibility toward governmental positions, those in authority in our nation. We're supposed to pray for them. But even there, listen, when that, of course, it mentions our fear of the Lord first, so that, listen, when there's a competition there between our loyalty to the king, so to speak, causes us to turn away from the Lord, then we better side with the Lord. Amen. But in this verse, it says that our relationship, and it shows us our relationship to the Lord should be right, and we should be loyal even to our country. Amen. When it talks about the king, it's talking about an earthly king, our president, our country. I don't have much time at all for somebody that's unpatriotic, that's all against the flag, burning the flag, and all that stuff. I'm against that. That don't have any favor with me at all. But when our country takes a choice and a direction to go against God, my fear of the Lord, my relationship with the Lord, my honor of the Lord, my worship of the Lord is going to rank over everything and everybody that I'm to be loyal to Him regardless. But everybody's not like that. That's why he said, meddle not with them that are given to change. Those that are changing in those two areas. Those that are changing concerning the Lord. Those that are changing concerning the King. There are going to be some. He said, don't meddle with them. Don't meddle with them. They may go on. They may do their thing, take their stand, whatever. But he said, you don't be a part of it. Meddle not with them that are given to change. Fear thou the Lord. One commentator talked about that fear thou the Lord really encompasses our whole relationship and fellowship with the Lord. It deals with our worship, our honor, our, you know, all of that, the whole thing. Fear thou the Lord. He's telling us in this verse that when there's change going on, that you need to have some convictions. Meddle not with them that are given to change. That is, instead of you giving in to the change, you giving in to what's going on around you, he's saying, make sure you know what you believe. It's real to you, and you're standing in that point. Your convictions should keep you from changing. Amen. And so that's what's implied there. So I wrote this down, that convictions for the Lord will be a major stabilizing factor in the day of change. Boy, it's kept me from going in some wrong directions. It really has. Amen. But a negative change in convictions is evidence of a negative change. In other words, when you start stepping away from your convictions and you start lessening and lowering your standards, that's not good. Don't let change change you. Amen. Don't let pressure change you. Stay true to God. Amen. I've noticed people that when they get in a bind or they get pressure on them or they get problems going on in their life, they start changing their convictions. They start excusing their moving away from their convictions. They'll start laying them aside. Things that they've embraced for years, they'll start laying them aside and coming up with an excuse saying, well, you know, maybe that wasn't real to start with. It's a funny thing to me that when change takes place and people steps away from the conviction, they always go in a negative direction. They don't change and get holier and more godly and more devoted and more devout, but rather they go lesser with it. They go, they start throwing things aside and laying things aside. Amen. Amen. You ought to have some convictions in your life. Be persuaded in your own heart what you believe. Amen. What is right. Because that's going to be a stabilizing factor in your life. Amen. And there are several in the Bible that was true to God when the pressure was on. I think about Noah. In Genesis chapter number 7, verse number 1, God told Noah, he said, I have seen thee righteous before me in this generation. Now think about that generation he's talking about. We're talking about the most wicked population that's ever been on planet Earth. And he said, no, I've been watching you. I've seen thee. That's what that means. No, I've been watching you. I've seen you. And here's what he said. I've seen you to be, you've been righteous before me. You didn't change with change. Corruption all around you, but you stayed focused and you stayed true. What about the three Hebrew boys? Three Hebrew boys, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They stayed true, didn't they? They didn't change when everybody else was bound down to the music and the idols and all that was going on. What about the Apostle Paul? Acts 20, he said, none of these things move me. Paul did not let jails, he didn't let people, he didn't let pressure, he didn't let beatings and persecutions, and the list goes on, change him. He stayed true. Meddle not with them that are given to change. I may not can change them, but I can keep them from changing me. Amen. John the Baptist stayed true. I mean, the list is endless from the Old Testament through the New Testament, people that stayed true to God. Of course, there's some negative ones. One I already mentioned, Aaron. In Exodus 32, he went from allegiance to adversary. He went from holding up the hands of the man of God to using his own hands to mold a golden calf idol, blending in with the crowd. Blending in and pleasing the people whatever they wanted, even though he knew in his heart it was wrong, because he at least knew that much from Moses, what was wrong with all that. But he never said a word. You don't find him saying a word about the sin of their day. Amen. He was given a wicked day of immorality and immodesty, but yet you don't see Aaron saying a word to the crowd. He complied. He changed. He let the people change him. Amen. I was going to read something that I wrote down in my little notes here. That he had went from he went from ally to an adversary. He went from being a support to God to being a source of judgment from God. Amen. Listen to this right here. I jotted this down. I always write stuff down. If you're like me, if I don't write stuff down or jot it down or put it somewhere where I can save it, I won't remember it. I can't remember. I can't recall all that. So write stuff down. That's what my English teacher used to tell me in Bible college. I didn't learn much, but he'd say when it would be time to write papers, big old papers, long papers, essays and so forth, he said, just start putting things on paper. You can go back and rearrange it later. You can add to, delete, change it, whatever. So he taught me at least that much to just put it down, write it down. You can always straighten it up later. And that seemed to have been my philosophy, amen. But anyway, Aaron changed because he pleased the people. If you're willing to please the people, you're probably going to be a person of change. Why? Because people change. He was willing to please the people. He was willing to bow down to peer pressure. He was more interested in being popular than he was being pure. Amen. You don't just go from spiritual to building a golden calf overnight. So evidently there had been a progression of spiritual personal decline on the inside of him. No doubt. So he tolerated some spiritual decline within. His past Egyptian life was not all gone. Where do you think he learned to mold a calf? You think this was the first one he'd ever done? Oh, negative. He wouldn't have known where to even start. The people knew he could do it. That's why that they asked him to do it. They put the pressure on him to do it. He had done it before, Brother Ivan. That's that old Egyptian life. You better watch it. Buddy, the change that's all around us will put pressure on you for your old life of the world to resurface. Amen. You have to watch it. Amen. And no doubt he had his idea about a golden calf and stuff. That was Egypt. He got that from Egypt. He still had that image in his mind. That's right. Maybe at some point in his life, he probably bowed down to it. I don't know. But anyway, needless to say, he was a man of change. Peter was a man of change. When the pressure got on, they arrested Jesus in the garden. They was leading Jesus away for the various judgments that he was going to be going through and so forth. Peter followed afar off, warmed himself by the enemy's fire, even cursed and denied that he even knew the Lord. Are you listening? He let change change him. Amen. And the list goes on. There's several that you could point out and deal with. But I want to deal with this verse here where it says meddle not. We're just going to take some different words down through here and look at them just a minute. Meddle not. Meddle not means, and here's the definition. Do not intermix. Do not intermingle and to braid, B-R-A-I-D. Don't be interwoven. How many, we've all seen ladies with their hair braided, girls with their hair braided, or we've seen bracelets or whatever that's been braided. And what that is you take more than one strand and you intermix and intermingle with them, making them one. He said, meddle not. Don't allow the pressures. Don't allow the changing around you to pull you into the braid, to pull you in as one of the supporting strands. Every strand, listen now, every strand in the braid that's added to it strengthens it. He's saying, do not meddle with them that are given to change. Don't let your life help support them. Meddle not with them that are given to change. Amen. Meddle not is a personal choice. Personal choice. With them that are given to change, meddle not with them. We're talking about people. We're talking about associations. Meddle not with them that are given to change. Amen. It seems to suggest here that change is in control of them. And if I associate with them, then it's going to put the pressure on me to get involved in the braid, get involved in the intermix. Given to change. I thought about this. Everybody saw a chameleon lizard before? That's the most amazing creature I believe I've ever seen. I mean, it don't matter what color or surroundings they get around, they automatically begin to take on that color. I don't know what kind of a scientific reaction it has to them, but they began to turn colors, to blend in. Well, Scott, you're talking about camouflage. If we had that ability, come up with that and patent it, and we'll be wealthy. Because I'll have to be involved in it because I suggested it. If you could get some kind of a hunting suit that would do like a chameleon, get in a tree and you become the tree. You know. But that's what most Christians are. They're chameleon Christians. Amen. That is, whatever surroundings they are near or next to, they begin to adapt to that. They begin to match that. They begin to become that. Amen. God help us to be people that are loyal. Amen. Not adapt and not change and not go along to get along and so forth. So anyway, I've come up with that. That's not deep. But anyway, look at the word change. Let's look at this for just a few minutes. Meddle not with them that are given to change. This word change means to alter. Not A-L-T-A-R like we come to an altar to pray. Now that altar will alter you, A-L-T-E-R, will alter you. But this word change means to alter, A-L-T-E-R, to change. Here's in the definition, to disguise. Meddle not to them that are given to change. Meddle not give to them that are operating under a disguise or lives an altering life. It also means a life that is duplicate. It also means, here's a key word, I had to meditate on it a little bit to see it, double. Given to being double. Meddle not with them that are given to being double. In other words, they live more than one life. They have more than one face. They have a hat that's got two bills because they. Meddle not with those around, amen, and they're everywhere. Everywhere you go, they're like that. There'll be people like that. He's saying, make sure you're not one. Amen. Those that have set aside their worship and fear of the Lord and have been altered, become double, amen, become a duplicate. He said, meddle not with them. If you identify inconsistency in people, if you identify, listen, don't let that change you. And let me give you some examples. I want you to open your Bibles here, and we're going to be done here shortly. Look at 1 Samuel 21:13. This is one of the times that it was used, this same identical word. that's translated change. 1 Samuel 21:13. 1 Samuel 21:13. I want to turn there myself. I've got it down, but I was going to just reference it, but I want you to see it. 21:13, 1 Samuel. This will give you an idea what that word change is meaning in the text that we're looking at. 1 Samuel 21:13, look at it. And this is when David feigned himself. Look at verse number 13. And he, that is David, changed his, that's the same word right there, changed. And he changed his behavior before them and feigned himself mad in their hands and scrabbled on the doors of the gate and let his spittle fall down upon his beard. In other words, he wasn't mad. He wasn't crazy. But he acted that way. Why? Listen to this. The idea behind this word change in that verse is illustrating a fake. David was faking. That wasn't what he really was. He was faking. So the idea of change, meddle not with them that are given to being fake. Them that has a fake side as well as what may be a real side. But he says it's used illustrating a fake, acting outwardly contrary to the real that is on the inside for the sake of covering up their true identity. David was turning himself into a fake for the purpose of saving his own hide. Meddle not with people that's willing to change to save their own hide, so to speak. Well, amen. The idea is that in that scripture. Let's turn to another one real quick. 1 Kings chapter number 14. 1 Kings 14. Another place this is used. 1 Kings 14 and verse number 2. 1 Kings 14 and verse number 2. And Jeroboam, listen to the words of this. And Jeroboam said to his wife, arise, I pray thee, here's the word, and disguise thyself. That's the word. Amen. I mean, we're in or you're in or somebody else in the Halloween season. I'm not in it, but some may be. And it's all about disguise. It's all about covering up of an identity. And there's a lot of heathenistic roots to that. But here's a man that wanted his wife to disguise herself. I don't know how many ladies would like that if your husband was telling you to, now, honey, I know you're my wife, but I don't want nobody to know that. Yeah, we might be in a witness protection program if that happened. But he said, Jeroboam said to his wife, arise, I pray thee, disguise thyself, that thou be not known to be the wife of Jeroboam. And get thee to Shiloh. Behold, there is Ahijah the prophet, which told me that I should be king over this people. And take thee, of course, 10 loaves and cracknels. I don't have a clue what all that is. I guess it's hard cakes. It's what Ryrie says it is anyway. And goes on down there. And then verse number 4, and Jeroboam's wife did so. That is, she disguised herself and went. She arose. Look at it now, verse number 4. And Ahijah, the prophet, the Bible said, could not see. So we've got it. They look like they're having a good plan going on. She's disguised, and God's prophet can't see but for reason of his old age. But they fail to think of one key character. God, in verse 4, and the Lord said unto Ahijah, behold, the wife of Jeroboam cometh to ask a thing of thee for her son, for he is sick. Thus and thus shalt thou say unto her, for it shall be that when she cometh in, that she feigned herself to be another woman. That's what the whole idea is behind change, is appearing to be somebody else or something else. Now look at this. They probably thought they had it everything going their way. And it was so, when Ahijah heard the sound of her feet as she came in at the door. Listen to this. She's disguised. He can't see. But because he had a word from the Lord, he heard her feet. She comes in the door. He says, come in, thou wife of Jeroboam. She thought she had that disguise. She thought that nobody knew. Plus, he couldn't see. You can't beat God now. Amen. God whispers secrets to his servants. That's what the Bible says. Well, he don't say whisper, but he said he revealeth his secrets to his servants. But anyway, that goes along with that. Verse number 6, and it was so that when Ahijah heard the sound of her feet as she came in the door, that he said, come in, thou wife of Jeroboam, why feignest thou thyself to be another? For I am sent to thee with heavy tidings. Well, that's good, ain't it? But that gives us an idea, an illustration of what it means in the text, meddle not with them that are given to altering or change or living a double life. Amen. Here's some good verses right down, just two of them. Psalms 89:34, God speaking. He said, my covenant will I not break nor alter. That's the same identical word used as change in our text. Meddle not with them that are given to change. God never changes. He said, my covenant will I not break nor alter the things that go out of my lips. God said, what I've said, I'm faithful to. What I am one day, I will be the next. Malachi 3:6, the same word shows up there about God. For I am the Lord, I change not. Same word, I change not. But look in verse number 22. Talking about those that are given to change. Those that do live double lives and feign themselves and disguise themselves and they appear one way one time and some other way another time. They have a church life and then they have a private life. And God wants us to be loyal. God wants us to not be changed with change. And those that are guilty of living that life of change, he said, their calamity shall rise suddenly. In other words, it's not going to be good. Their calamity. I looked that word up and it means their oppression, their misfortune, their ruin, their distress, their disaster, their destruction is going to come suddenly. It's going to arise surprisingly. It's going to rise instantly. But I don't know other than just the Lord trying to encourage us to not give in to change in these days of change. To remain unchanged in a day of change would be the only thing I can think of that the Lord would put this scripture on my heart. And I need it. And I know we do as a church because the pressure's on. To be, you know, just be odd and you're strange if you still stand right. You can flip on the TV channel and you can watch television, religious television, and they're using every kind of Bible in the book. You know, in the world, they're using all kinds of music and they're booming. They're booming. But I've purposed in my heart, I'm not going that direction. I'm just not going that direction. I could have a few years ago, but I'm not interested in that. I'm not interested in that. There was actually back when I took, right before I took this church, I was already preaching here, in fact. I don't know how many was here. That was here that particular Sunday morning that there was a pulpit committee came in here from a church in Morristown. I don't know how many, well, there wasn't hardly any of you hear that, and I don't guess, because we was just real small. And there was a Southern Baptist church in Marstown, big, big old church come in. And they'd got a hold of one of my cassette tapes, if that tells you how old and how long ago that was. And they'd got a hold of that, and they said, that's the kind of preaching we want. And I still remember this day what I preached that morning. Two are better than one out of Ecclesiastes. I remember that. And they said, we want to talk to you. And there was a steakhouse out here at that time. I don't remember the name of it. And they said, we want to talk to you after the service. I said, that'd be fine. They bought my steak, so I was fine with that. I was at least going to get a free piece of cow out of it, amen. A fatted calf, I was going to get some of that. And so they said, that's the kind of preacher, because we did have a good service that morning. They said, that's what we want. I'm not going to mention the church name, but it's a pretty big church. And they said, that's what we want. And anyway, I still living in South Carolina, just driving up and back on weekends and stuff. And they called me on the phone. I'll never forget it. I knew it was a matter of time. And I was ready. They said, we definitely are interested, but we got one question. And I could have stopped them, Brother Carroll, and said, let me tell you what it is. But I didn't. I let them go ahead and talk. They said, we noticed on that church sign up there where you're preaching in Rogersville that it's got independent on it. And we want to know, is that what you are? And I said, yes, sir, that's what I am, and here is why. And I told them details as to why. And of course, their ending conversation was, pray for us, and we'll pray for you. And that was the end of that. But I couldn't go. They want me coming. I just couldn't go because I knew that wasn't the will of God for me. I just couldn't do it. I'd be like a bull in a china shop. But anyway, I'm glad the Lord's put some convictions in my heart. And they've been challenged down through the years, and yours will. Yours will. Amen. Are you going to stand? Are you going to cave in? Are you going to disguise yourself? Are you going to, are you going to put on a front? Are you going to let change alter? I mean, there's going to be those pressures. And I can't imagine the days up ahead and years up ahead what it's going to be. There may even be legal pressure coming in, to not preach certain things. You can see that happening. But anyway, maybe the Lord used that just to encourage us to be unchanged in changing times. Amen. Let's pray. Father, thank you, Lord, for the privilege to be here tonight. Thank you, Lord, for those who sung and testified. What a blessing it was to my heart. Thank you for giving us a good day today in your house. I pray, Lord, you'd continue to lead us along. Lord, you are the shepherd, we're the sheep, and may we be tuned in to you and allow you to lead us. May we be sensitive, Lord, to what hurts you, what blesses you. Lord, may we refuse to let changing times alter us, disguise us, cause us to live two separate lives or multiple lives, depending on what crowd we're with and around. Lord, may we be observant, maybe not judgmental, but be observant of other people if they are given to change. And we in any way sense that there is a pressure on us to comply with that change. May we make the decision. May we listen to you and honor you and fear you to the point that we would meddle not with them that are given a change. Help us to stay the course you did for us. May we do that for you. You're worthy. Lord, help us, our Father, to have what it takes to stand in these last days. And we'll give you praise and honor in Jesus' name. Amen.